Hey, everybody, welcome back to another edition of DPH Clinical. I am joined by the guys from Colorado Surgical Institute. As we said on the episode 2 weeks ago, Brisky is sick, but we've got the executive director, Chris Richards. What's up, Chris? How's it going, man?
Man, it is going good. It's good to be on the other side of the holidays and other side of all that sickness.
Absolutely. And we're here with Tahir. And in our last episode that we did 2 weeks ago, we talked about that consultation, and we just went through the thing of what to say on the phone, how to really connect with the patient, how to get them to open up emotionally. And then Tahir kind of explained what he would go and how he would approach the consultation. So if you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to that one first. But Tahir, let's just continue what we were talking about last time. Is we tried to connect emotionally, we got the patient talking, they really feel heard, they're excited to come into the office. What does this look like for you? And I'll just preface it with the listeners that didn't hear the other one and they're just listening to this one. This is a full day of consults for Tahir. This is not something he's doing in between procedures. So this is a day he sets up, an admin day where he's working on stuff, and he's also just doing these consultations. So I guess you just take us from there, Tahir.
Yeah. And if you guys imagine the schedule is three columns, it's one solid consultation column. So we schedule, we rank the phone call as a red, yellow, green. And if it's green, they get 90 minutes. If it's yellow, they get 60 minutes. If it's red, they get 30 minutes. So that way I'm also protecting my time and my team's time. And sometimes if you have someone who's red, but there really is just, it was a really bad intro phone call and they turn into a green, you still give them the 90 minutes there. And then you have your second in line person come in who kind of picks up some of the slack and keeps things moving for you. Second column, new patients. Third column, just limiteds and emergencies. And that this structure works when there's multiple doctors. So if a doc has an opening, they can pull my new patient. They can pull the limited. If they don't have an opening, well, your consultations have a higher no-show rate. So then I can be busy meeting new patients for the practice and putting stuff on the associate schedule. But it's just non-clinical time because the vast majority of these procedures are like ortho checks and sleep checks. Vast majority of these procedures on my admin days or consult days are assistant driven type of procedures. So then I can really be intentional and spend time with that patient. And once you listen to the previous episode, you're going to know like Chris. And if you find someone like him who has the empathy and the compassion and the human connection component to them, you're going to walk into the consultation room and those patients are going to say some version of, hey, I knew this was the place because of that phone call. I knew you guys were the right place for me. And I just started hearing that more and more frequently. So I was like, okay, we're doing something right. And then I had to change how I did my consults to emphasize and keep with the new way we were going about things. And retraining yourself is hard. If you're already an empathetic, compassionate person, it's going to be super easy. You're going to be loving it. If you're super analytic and left-brained, it's like, you got to just listen. You got to just sit there and listen and like mental notes. Don't write down notes. Like just talk to the person. And then I go into my spiel and I'll put up their x-rays on the screen so we can both see them. I'll draw on the CBCT with the little marker that you can in the VATEC software. I'll show them models of 3D printed models and the zirconia models, and I'll have them hold them and I'll kind of talk them through the process and I'll do the med history review. And I'll also ask them like, hey, you know, like anything you want me to cover, any burning questions you have, any research you've done, any secondary consults you've had, that things you want me to talk about, please let me know. I want to address everything. I just let them do their thing. And then after that, we have a folder. If you imagine it opening up, there's one side of the folder that has pre-made marketing things that say vitamin D will help. Pineapple juice will help. Here's the things to know about this procedure. So it's indicating to them like, hey, we do this so much that we have this packet already ready for you to pass out to you. And then in the second slot on the folder, it's their plan. And I don't have it printed out on paper. We handwrite it in. If you imagine like a piece of paper with a trifold, I have three options for them. Sometimes it's overdenture fixed. Sometimes it's 3-on-6, all on X and fix, or it's overdenture or whatever. Sometimes it's like a restorative type of plan, whatever it is, it's just handwritten in there. And with all the numbers, it shows like, hey, this was written for you. This was customized. This was not a computer program that spit this thing out. And I write on there as we talk, I'm like, oh yeah, you don't need this, or this one you can do over here. And so I'll just draw on it and I'll sign the bottom and they'll sign it also. And it gets scanned into their file as like, hey, here's the conversation we had about your care and the treatment you agreed to, of course. So with all that said, then I present the numbers to them and I'll say this option here is $70,000. This option here is $50,000. This option here is $30,000. And then I just shut up and listen and kind of allow them to process. And some people will sit there for like a minute and just think. And it's awkward just sitting there for a solid 60 seconds. And then they're going to talk. They always break the silence. They'll say something.
I think that's such an amazing skill for anyone in case presentation to have, is just to shut up and let that silence sit. And it's hard to do, but it, for me personally, it's become like, it's like the challenge. I like actually enjoy it. And I like, I just maintain eye contact and I'm like, you will go first. That's what I'm thinking in my head. I'm like, I don't know if it's like this deep down subconscious power move that I'm doing now, like, but it's like, it allows them to think, to process, and to give you something back. Because if you just like end that with after that, do you have any questions? No, I'm good. You're done. I mean, people might say yes still, but you just close that dialogue. I'm curious, Chris, now you're taking these intake calls. When do you come into this process during the actual consultation visit? Or do you?
During the consultation, we're there the whole time. The doctor comes in and basically visits with my consultation and just does the doctor stuff and presents the numbers. We went back and forth with a lot of different variations where the team, where the treatment coordinator would present the numbers. But the numbers started to resemble in the patient's mind a lot of like the clinical expertise. So having the doctor present the larger numbers and any of the clinical diagnoses components, that's where we found a lot of the power coming in. But I'm there the whole time and a team's there the whole time because like Dr. Dune had mentioned, they don't have a relationship with him. They've got a relationship with the team member. And that's what's most important to maintain. And I think with a lot of doctors we work with, sometimes that's more of the difficult component for them to let go, is that they cannot develop that relationship. It's kind of like you've got to, from a provider perspective, admit that that is now belongs to your team and you're a component of the patient's journey. You can't be the main guy anymore.
That's really interesting. Has anyone ever told you, Chris, they're like, man, why can't you do my surgery? I like you better than Dune.
Yeah. I'm not going to embarrass Dune on a podcast, but yeah, it's been
do
hundreds
it.
Of
do
yeah.
it.
I'm sure it does. They're like, wait, I want you to do it. You're like, no.
Yeah, no, it's been like six times for sure that I can think of where they were specifically disappointed that I was not the doctor.
Yeah. I could totally see that. So Dune, like, I mean, so you're presenting the finances, which I think a lot of people listening were like, whoa, man, like I usually just pass that along. Like, I don't want to talk dollars. Like, I imagine this takes a certain sort of finesse and confidence in your speech. And I remember being right out of school, presenting maybe 4 or 5 crowns and being like, oh, man, this is like $4,000. And I think the longer you do it, the easier you get talking about those big numbers. Like, can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, it takes time for sure. But I know that with the right framing, you can get there faster. And the reason why is I have a doc who we just started in October. And she said a very similar thing. She came from Medicaid practices and locum tenens stuff and just kind of hopped around and had a lot of experience. She's super cool personality, but now she's presenting $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 cases within her first full month or two now of being with us. It just comes down to like understanding what you're presenting the dollars for. And if you have the conversation with the patient about the vulnerability and what this means and how they don't show up in their lives and how they're embarrassed and they can't be that person that they thought they could be with their significant others. And then you talk about the dollars. Then at that point, you're not asking for 50 grand for teeth. You're asking for 50 grand for confidence and for happiness and for different things. And so then I can say it super confidently now. And it's harder when you're younger and you can't execute the cases or you haven't been through enough cases to know what like the joy of what it is on the other side for people. But when you do it enough and you've been part of those reveals enough time and seen your follow-ups for 2+ years about like, hey, this is how a person changes as a human being after this is done, you can confidently talk about it. I charge people $150,000 for this because I know how like meaningful it could be into their lives. So initially fake it until you get the reps and just say, hey, it's 70, 50, or 30. We have a lot of different financial options. Chris here knows them way better than I do. There's ways to break this out over like 8 or 9 years in some circumstances, and he's way more qualified than I am. But do you have any clinical questions for me? And then I'm more than happy to answer those. And if you choose to move forward, what I'm going to need from you is I'm just going to need you to come back, and we got to get some scans and pictures and x-rays and stuff for me to do my due diligence ahead of time. And what Chris is going to do, and whoever the treatment coordinator is now, it's Rose. So what Rose is going to do is she'll take into consideration your schedule. And I always say their schedule first, your schedule, the anesthesiologist's schedule, if we're going anesthesia, and my schedule, and we'll get you back and we'll make sure we get everything taken care of. She's your singular point of contact. So you have any questions, you don't have to talk to anyone else here. You ask for Rose specifically, and you're going to get my cell phone number, where if you have any questions about the clinical stuff afterwards, you text me, call me day or night. I'm asleep at 10, I'm up at 4. So if I don't answer for those 6 hours, you know, I'm just out. But I'm super responsive and always here anytime you need me. And if you choose to move forward, I'm looking forward to taking you down this journey. Some version of that always comes out of my mouth before I excuse myself. And then they'll say, no, I don't have any questions besides the numbers, or some answer to that effect. And then I thank them for coming in. I actually shake their hand and I say, welcome to the practice. And then I'll say, I thank Rose and she thanks me. And then I walk out. And if the conversation's getting really long and I need to make an out, I say, hey, I got to go do a quick round real quick. I got to make a quick round and make sure I check on everything real quick. But if you have any questions where you can stump Rose, and she's been doing this for a really long time, if you can stump her, she'll page me and I'll come back in. So that's my way of saying, hey, I got other shit to do too. Yeah. But it's not like saying it that way.
That's great. I love it. It's funny how much we struggle with that. I personally struggle with ending those conversations, and I rely on my assistants to tell me Dr. Kennedy's on the phone. That's what ours is. Ours is, hey, Dr. Kennedy.
Yeah, Dr. Kennedy.
Yeah. And I think that came from, I was talking to my assistants about that. It's like, why did we pick Dr. Kennedy? And I think it was because we were at a class and the person telling us about it was Dr. Kennedy. So if you're listening to Dr. Kennedy and you remember telling me that, you go reach out to me. But yeah, it's hard. I'm just sitting there and you're trying to get up and you're just like, oh my gosh, this person will not stop talking. I love hearing how you do this, because I think this is the finesse that we're missing. And this is probably, I'm sure you guys have had this experience and you guys can speak on this, is where people start, they want this and they get stuck and they say, I tried, it didn't work.
Hey everyone, this is Dr. Ty Hardoon with Colorado Surgical Institute. Dr. Brisky and myself have really enjoyed doing these podcasts with Dr. Etch and talking about everything clinical. So keep your guys' feedback coming. It really helps us curate what we're going to be talking about on the podcast. If you want to learn how to do live patient surgeries and actually do the work yourself with the guidance of Dr. Brisky and myself, come out and see us. We're in Northern Colorado. We're just north of Denver, and we can have you do anything from single implants to wisdom teeth to IV sedation to oral sedation, bone blocks and GBR and sinus lifts, vertical and lateral, and full arch with the whole digital workflow using photogrammetry, 3D printers, mills, and all of the above. So we're here to help. Reach out to us. You can call Chris Richards, our director, at 970-420-6148, and he will definitely have a hero discount for you guys, because we love Paul and we love DPH.
And what I'll do is I'll also say is I have royally screwed up a lot of consults too. If my head is not in the right place and I'm tired or I'm out of energy or I have an HR issue or something else is on my mind and I'm not present for that conversation and I subtly insult someone. If you talk about money in the wrong way, you can insult somebody. If you talk about their embarrassment in the wrong way, you can insult them. If you insult someone's dignity in a consultation, that consultation is over. And even to this day, I'll still mess one up here and there. And I'm like, I probably could have done this, and this better. So it's good for the manager, or the treatment coordinator, or anyone to come back in after the consult and give you the debrief. I also ask like, hey, could I have done anything better? Did I lose it somewhere there if I feel like I was off? And they'll be like, oh yeah, yeah. When you said that, don't say that again. Don't go there. That's my territory.
Can you think of anything in particular, any specific situations where you said something? You shared something last episode, but... About the,
yeah.
Can you think of one that you really messed up?
Yeah, there was a guy with his wife in there and he could easily just stroke the check. And it was like $34,000, $35,000. It was Crown and Bridge with implants. And I said something to the effect of like, yeah, you know, some people struggle to put the money together or something. So Rose is here for you. And I was like, don't freaking say it that way. Just Rose is here for you. She'll talk to you.
He's like, I'll buy this and somebody else's.
Yeah. And he was like, bro, I'm not going to struggle with the money. You're struggling with this consultation. He gave me a look of disdain and I knew it was over.
Yeah, it's so true.
Mm-hmm. That seems to be one of the biggest problems that like other office managers we talk to and other providers we talk to is you guys are so busy because you do need to get out. You had like 13 minutes to have this 20-minute conversation. You need to bounce. It's so easy to try to make some assumptions along the way or use past data with some of the patients. And I think that's the main difference that gets in people's way to just not only just communicating about numbers and money, but presenting those kind of numbers. We've had a lot of treatment coordinators come through who were afraid to say, yeah, that's going to be $70,000 for all this dental work because they're assuming it's a lot for them. Doesn't mean that it's a lot for this other person, or doesn't mean that moment of silence after Dr. Dune just mentioned the $70,000 price tag, like we're assuming what they're thinking. We're assuming they're shutting down. But vast majority of the time, they're just like thinking, okay, well, if I get a second, or if I talk with this aunt, or if I do this financing combined with this combo, whatever. So by jumping to those conclusions and assuming just in an effort to try to move things along, you screw yourself up more often than not.
What would you say the most common objections you get? You do that and you present it and you wait and you give the patient the chance to respond.
My experience is they don't know how they're going to afford it. Everyone wants it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's you got to convince them that that's not the right option for them. If they're savable teeth and you can do like a combo case or something, you're just like, yo, you're not there yet. Like, let's not do this case. But everybody wants that procedure. They just don't know how to afford it. So you have someone who's talented in terms of talking about HELOCs and going to your bank and do you have anyone else who can co-sign for you and having that conversation in a strategic way. Also, before we do the intake and we get their information, we do it's called like iSoft credit pull or something. It costs me like $100 a month and it's not always correct. And I think I said this on another podcast. It's not always correct, but if it's good, it's usually correct. But if it's bad, it doesn't mean that they have bad credit. So you kind of have an idea of who's coming in also. It gives you like some pre-data. But I've closed a case last week from someone I did my initial x-ray on in 2019. You need to be able to keep these patients in an Excel sheet and routinely follow up with them with touch points because sometimes they're just like, I don't got it now, but I'll have it in the future. And as long as you don't screw it up, then you're their guy or gal in the future. You're like, you're their office. And that's what's most important is if you're going to be playing the long game, like I'm closing cases from 4 years ago on top of the cases I'm closing for people who walk in through the door now. And that's why I do so many of these is because Chris created the system many years ago that allowed for future me to have these reps.
That's what I was going to ask is that was there a certain point where you started noticing people coming back and you're like, oh, now I've planted enough seeds and now this is really kicking into overdrive.
Yeah, absolutely. Initially, when you get your person or your system in place, you will see this like huge parabolic spike in acceptance because all of a sudden, all the cases that were saying no are saying yes. And then all the cases that were saying yes, but I don't have money, then they start figuring stuff out. And then people figure out things in 3 months. Sometimes they figure it out in 3 years. It's like, view it like orthodontic revenue, right? You do enough cases, you just have that recurrent income coming in. This is just, I got recurrent consultations coming in. So it's just, I've done 4 consults on the same person before, and then they chose me over all the other cases. You remember Eligio? Mm-hmm. His daughter did an implant, and then he came in, and then he went somewhere else, and then he negotiated the price down a little bit on me. So I was like, all right, respect. You got me to lower my price because this case was super easy. So I was like, all right, I'll lower my price a little bit. I know it's a layup. And I ended up doing his case like numerous years later. So yeah, it's just making sure your recall system on this is robust. And
did it end up being a layup?
No. He was going through dementia by the time he came in. So that's he packed food and had an incision line opening. So the surgery was easy, but then he had an implant fail and I had to go back and take it out and replace one and re-suture him. So now he's fine, but I had to do a revisitation because he just packed a meal underneath it.
That's what I figured. Okay, Chris, what did you want to add to that?
Just with patients coming back, I mean, at the end of it all, a surgery is a surgery. And most of the time, every doctor in your area is going to be $5,000-$10,000 difference from each other. The only differentiating factor for patients is who saw them as human beings, who understood that they were not being just rushed through. So all of that emotional stuff, not only does it help at the beginning and during this close, but also that's what people remember. And that's why patients have been coming back 4 years. Sometimes we do have patients fall through our very established system and they come back because they're like, I remember that one time I talked with Rose 4 years ago and she made me feel like a real person for the first time when it came to my dentures or my teeth. And that's what makes the difference.
Yeah. So you guys teach this to people.
Yeah, we do. We started realizing that this was the missing component. Doctors go back and invest a bunch of money into a surgical course, and then they can't figure out why they don't have the surgeries coming through. And this was the component. So along with our full arch courses, Rose and myself, we have a breakout session with office managers and treatment coordinators. And it's a 2-day course, and we cover stuff from phone skills to some light marketing down to how to close and how to use different financial options. So everything that helped make Dr. Dune's implant program pretty robust and amazing, we've been able to put down on some paper and hopefully make some differences in a lot of patients' lives.
Yeah, I really love that. All right, if anyone's looking for more information, go check out ColoradoSurgicalInstitute.com. Thank you so much, guys. Take care.
Thanks, man.
Hey, everybody. This is Dr. Dune from Colorado Surgical Institute. Just wanted to give you guys a shout out and let you know about the program. We have full arch surgeries. We have lateral sinus lifts. We have block grafting courses, all done in one weekend with the whole digital workflow with photogrammetry units, scanners, 3D printers, milling, you name it, anything regarded to full arch, we cover in depth. We also have a PGCA course. What that is, it's the Postgraduate Clinical Accelerator course, where we are going to be covering wisdom teeth, single implants, and it can be complex single implants with vertical sinus lifts. We'll also be covering full arch extractions with ridge reduction, bone grafting, PRP, suturing, and we also will have a course on socket preservation. So if you guys are interested in any of those courses, please reach out to us at Colorado Surgical Institute. The code is HEAL.